And here's a fidget spinner if you don't know what to do with your hands while you talk.
I probably need that.
Matt, you should start doing that.
Yeah. Reach. Yeah, I don't know what to do.
You connect with
New York, what part?
Long Island.
Long Island.
Ben Williams.
Jerry Hill.
Jerry, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Where are
you?
About 5 miles outside of there.
Oh, really?
The local guy, yeah.
What did you speak on?
Accepting one another, the message of Romans.
Yes, okay.
Chapter 15.
That's great. I wish I could have heard it. I should have been here to listen to you. That would have inspired me to do a better job speaking than I've done myself.
Well, what are you going to speak on? I'll look it up online.
We went to Long Island 52 years ago to do mission work. We're still there. And after the death of our oldest son, we developed the first children's home in the entire northeast corner of the country, where 25% of the nation lives. So it's called right. Timothy Hill Children's Ranch.
I've heard of it.
You have?
Yes, I have. That's great. Give me a card.
Well, let me see where my card is. I think I've got one right here.
You know the name? What would it be like? Either computer one or two.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Is your computer
done? Were you part of the Exodus movement?
No, but I went up just a year or so after they did.
Okay.
It's not pushing.
We brought teams of vocational missionaries to Manhattan to worship with the church there and be trained by me. Keith, I'm trying to think of his last name.
Keith,
used to be the pulpit pastor.
Yeah, he's down in Miami.
Yeah, you know
Mitchell.
Who
Keith
Mitchell.
Mitchell,
that's right.
I've got it. I don't have Alzheimer's. I've got some timers.
Yes,
sometimes
sir.
I remember, and sometimes
well,
I don't. Sometimes it takes me longer.
The real. I couldn't even think of it.
Thanks again, Ben. We'll see you.
Thanks to
him. Hi. Ben, great job.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate the support.
It was very good.
Good to meet you.
I really like the ending, too, the basic things that you said. It's really good. Yeah.
All right, we'll see. It is. It's not picking up on your computer. It's a...
I don't know. My video's coming up.
It is. Maybe can we plug this USB into? Do you think that's
no? Okay? It won't do it. It would have to be this. That's the only thing.
That would be the only thing.
Yep. So, which one it takes? It's playing now, so maybe it'll come up. I don't know.
No signal.
Yes.
I've almost met you about two or three times.
Yeah, so I think so.
The volume's pretty loud, so
it is pretty loud.
How do we?
I can adjust the volume right here.
Okay, yeah.
You'll make it a little louder.
Let's see how that plays.
Set the volume
okay.
Out of the mean age of the audience.
The group was singing, and when they got through singing, the young people were just screaming. Well, but I just had to close my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
That's better.
The issues that I think that are really plaguing our country right now is really been the breakdown of the family.
And that's good.
That have really got nobody or had nobody.
My relationship with my mom started getting,
Good. Okay. Well, God bless you. You've talked.
All right. Thank you. So, what's your name?
Matt Love.
Matt?
Yeah.
You're a student here or are you a professor?
A grad student.
A grad student.
Yeah.
Great, Matt. That's great. Good to meet you. Hi.
Introducing a friend a second ago, so I hope your talk goes well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
see
it.
Y'all.
See you later. Are you staying, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Hey, I'll see you. Yeah. I'll see you.
So we're going to go after church?
Well, maybe in between. Maybe after your announcements or something.
Oh, okay, that's
if
fine.
If you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have other responsibilities.
You don't, okay.
Right.
Thanks,
Dave.
Okay.
I'm going to let Jerry go ahead and start his presentation. I don't know how familiar you are with Timothy Hill Ranch and the work and all that, that he does, but it is a really incredible ministry that I have actually referred, I think, three, maybe four folks to myself personally, and know some of the people that worked with him and never have had a chance to. My feet hurt. Jerry, I took my shoes off. My feet hurt.
I'm glad to see you.
Well,
relaxed.
I mean, I've got, yeah, I mean, it's just, those shoes fit a couple of years ago. But anyway, so this carpet, I'm gonna lead us in a prayer, then I'm gonna ask, let him go ahead and start his presentation and everything for y'all, and let him answer some questions if you need to. So, Father, thank you for listening to us, and thanks for this wonderful ministry and for all of the young people that it touches, and also for all the people that get to work with them and to get the training and the ways to help and have life skills and Christ-centered skills that will serve them for the rest of their life. Thanks for listening to us and for being our Father. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, they say I'm supposed to have this thing on over here. I don't know whether I need it on or not.
I don't. That's your call. I think you're good.
Yeah, okay. Well, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Is this Andy?
Well, it was, but he didn't show up. So I'm Jerry Hill from New York.
I know who you are.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad to have you.
Clay had some kind of some real big conflicts come up, and Jerry was kind enough to step in and just say he would share with us this.
As we say with the New York Yankees, I'm a pinch hitter, you know.
Hey, all right.
At the last minute, I'm pitching in. Well, I wondered a day or two ago if anybody would still be here, because a lot of people have already left. So I want to thank all of you for staying around and being here with us. And where two or three are gathered together, you know the rest of that, right? I was born and raised on a farm in West Tennessee. I went to Free Harbin and then transferred over here. Back then it was a two-year school. Came back over here.
I think somebody's at the door, Jerry.
Fern and I dated 61 years ago here and got married. And, we served two churches in Columbia, Tennessee, after we got out of here in 1957. And in 1965, we moved to Long Island, New York, Riverhead, Long Island, which is 80 miles east of Manhattan. Riverhead is the county seat of our county. Our county is called Suffolk County. And we have 1.5 million people in Suffolk. Suffolk is the largest county in New York State. 100 miles long, 18 miles wide, surrounded by water. Mm-hmm. And, so we have a lot of farms on the east end of Long Island where we live. And as you travel west toward the city, it becomes more and more populated, less farms, but a lot of farms out on the east end. And so tourism and farming are the two major sources of income out there. When Fern and I got married, we had not been married very long until we had a young child that was kind of dropped on us. His mother had to be in the hospital for months. So Randy came and lived with us, and that was a tremendous experience. Timothy, our oldest, was born in Columbia, Tennessee while we were working with the church there. And we've had five sons, Timothy, Titus, Thomas, Thaddeus, and Theophilus. And in 1972, our oldest son, Timothy, who was 13 at the time, was riding his bike to school early one morning and was hit by a truck and was killed instantly. He bought his own horse when he was 12, an Appaloosa named Apple. Our logo over the years has been Apple. He was saving money when he died to buy land so that when he got grown, he could develop a farm atmosphere for kids who didn't have a home. One of the shocking things occurred to me when we moved to Long Island, well, several things were shocking. It was a different culture on Long Island, and one of the things that kind of shocked us was the latchkey kids and the number
for kids who didn't have a family. Our home became kind of a gathering place for people in our neighborhood. They'd gather there in the morning before the school bus came, and they'd gather there in the afternoon after they got out of school. And I know we had some neighbors who always locked their house, so they just expected the kids to stay with us until they got off of work. But I'm telling you all that to say that from the very, even before we got married, we were involved in kingdom work where we would reach out to children. The 2 years I was here at Hardin, I worked with a church between Ball Knob and Newport called Russell. I don't even know whether there's a church there now anymore, but back in those days, they had one small little shotgun building, no restrooms, no classrooms, and there was only about 12 or 13 adults that came and no children. So I got six or seven friends at Hardin to help me, and we went out there, and we would knock doors on weekends, we would set up Bible studies, and we especially would get children to come to Sunday school. And we used our automobiles as a classroom, and the steering wheel would hold our visual aids. And so that little church grew and grew and grew. We had a tent meeting my senior year here at Hardin, and we had a lot of baptisms. And one family, we baptized two or three children in that family, and one of them is Jimmy Scudder. Some of you may know Jimmy. He grew up in that community, and he's been in Africa for 40-some years doing mission work. And I just look back, and I thank God that we had a heart for children. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise we would never have met Jimmy's family. And his sister, Gwen Anderson, Bob and Gwen Anderson, live here in Searcy, and she came and lived with us for a year or two in New York before she got married, and she was kind of like a foster child to us, and she treats us like we were her parents.
You're saying Gwen?
That's Gwen.
Yes, she's involved with their caring and sharing at the college church.
Wonderful.
She keeps the nursery every Monday night.
Yeah, she told me that. She told me that this week. Well, that shows you a little bit about our background. So when we got to New York, we continued to have children dropped on our doorstep. And we were not official foster parents until, I guess, shortly before Timothy's accident, right? We kind of took in a family of children. There were about four or five children in that family that we took in. And they were already wards of the state, and so the state came in and did an investigation. And we didn't really have room for them in our house. We had a small house. But anyway, the state looked the other way, and they said, "Dad, you can go ahead and be foster parents." But that was the first time we'd ever gotten any income as a foster parent. But after Tim's death, Fern wrote a book about Timothy called Graduation Glory. And she mentioned casually on the back cover that Timothy's dream was to someday have some land so he could develop a home for kids that didn't have a home. And as people read the book, spontaneous contributions began coming in. And Fern and I had already decided when she was publishing the book that any money that came from it, we put it toward Timothy's dream. So that became the seed of this nonprofit. We're a 501c3 under board of directors. We've got a great group of Christians on our board, and they have faith and vision, and they're so encouraging. But the ranch started out with a 106-acre farm with no buildings on it, and we were incorporated as a board in 1976 and bought the land in 1978, and then we opened for our first boy who came to us from Manhattan in 1980. The first house only had 10 boys in it, and we had a house parent model. We had a husband and wife, and we had a young man who just gotten out of college who lived in the house, and he helped them and helped take care of the kids. Well, we were flying to the seat of our pants. You know, I was trained to be a preacher, and we didn't know a whole lot about child care at that point, except we tried to raise our own kids, and we had a lot of love for children. And that's important. But when you have children coming out of broken homes, we've had over 1,000 kids in our program over these last 40 years, and most of them have come out of homes where there was no father. Many of them do have a mother, or they have a grandmother, have somebody in their family. And but most of them have come out of situations, very broken places where they never went to church, they never read scripture, didn't know how to pray, didn't know how to sing. And so we've had quite a challenge over the years of trying to introduce them to God, introduce them to the Bible, introduce them to Jesus, introduce them to Christian values, and help them to experience some healing from their past hurts, and get them to the point where they are willing to dream and to hope and to set some goals for themselves. So at the present time, we have 85 acres. We've sold off some land on the north end that we were not going to use. We've had some land donated to us, and then we bought some houses near our campus in the community. And we were licensed to serve children 10 years of age up to 21. And it was a residential treatment center, like a residential treatment center. And that was our model with house parents to live in. And we did that for 15 years. And we always had a problem of house parents burning out. And we never gave them enough time for vacations and for rest and relaxation. So after we'd done that for 15 years, we decided that we would go with shift work with that type of child. And I think that that has helped us to solve the burnout problem. I have employees now who've been with me for 38 years or more. And we've gone back to the house parent model for some of our older young people. We really have kind of two programs, one for kids who are 18 and under who are still in school. And we want to help them to graduate from school and perhaps think about college, and if not college, at least be trained in some kind of vocational skills so that they can get a job. And we've noticed over the years that a lot of kids that we have either come through our program or we've seen them in other places are over 18 or 18 and older who are not ready for the job market and not ready for college, not ready to take care of themselves and support themselves. So out of necessity in our program, and also years ago, the sheriff in our county came to us and told us that he said, I want you to help me to stop the recidivism rate of young people in my prison. In New York State, if you're 16 and older, you're considered an adult. And so he had young people 16, 17, 18, 19 years old in with the adult population of the county jail. And we have thousands of people in jail in our county, with a million and a half people. We have 3 million people living on Long Island. And that doesn't count New York City, which part of New York City is on Long Island, but it's considered the city instead of the island. So we told him, we said, well, we got a house across the street over here that's been donated to us. And but we haven't been able to fix it up, restore it, and make it a good place to live. He said, well, I don't have any money, but I've got some inmates that are good carpenters, construction people. He said, I'll see if they would like to volunteer. So in a few weeks, we had two deputy sheriffs and eight guys with orange jumpsuits on out there. And they rebuilt that house from the top down to the bottom up. And so it's like a brand new house. They converted garage into a bedroom and bath. And they put in new walls, new bathrooms, new kitchen, everything. It's like a brand new house. And the sheriff was there the day we dedicated that house. He helped cut the ribbon. I looked out on the street. There were these guys with their, you know, shackles on, with their deputy sheriff standing out there with tears in their eyes. I went out and shook their hand. We were a little concerned when they first started working on that house, because behind us is a subdivision of 100 houses. We were concerned that his neighbors would say, what are you doing? You know, you got all these jailbirds out here working on your property. But within a few weeks, they were bringing coffee and donuts and cookies and stuff to feed these guys. So we had no pushback from the police. Of course, we were there first. We were grandfathered in that way. But we've had a great relationship with our neighbors. And the judges have been very cooperative with us, and the sheriff has been cooperative with us. So we call that program, and the residents in that house still are called the right path. These guys have been down the wrong path a few times, so this is the right path. And they, we visit them in the county jail and interview them and tell them that we've got a program that's going to help them to get on their feet and go in the right direction. It's a tough program. You're going to have to give up your drugs and your drinking and all smoking and all the other kind of things.
Cell phones.
And your cell phones, which is the worst thing. We've had kids turn us down because they didn't want to give up their cell phone. And they'd almost rather live in the gutter than to live in a nice place without a cell phone. That says something about what's happening in our culture today. But these young men made a commitment for 6 months to come to our program. And they could renew another 6 months after the first 6 months. And here's how it works. Every day is very structured. They're up at 5:45 for a 1 hour workout from 6 to 7. They go in, freshen up, have breakfast, and pack their lunch, and then they're gone the rest of the day. Which helps our child care staff, but it also teaches them kind of adult responsibility. And they either go to school or go to work, or it's a combination. Some of our guys go to school in the morning, work in the afternoon, some work in the morning, go to school in the afternoon. We have a school on campus. Our passing grade is 80. If you make under 80, you've got to do your work all over again. We have a kind of a hybrid school. We use the same software that you use in public school if you're sick for a few weeks.
Jerry, is this for a GED type thing, or is this just regular classwork?
It's regular classwork.
Okay, so they can go.
But a lot of their work is done on the computer.
Okay.
And then we have tutors.
Okay.
To give them individual instruction, math, okay, science, whatever it is that they, okay, need instruction in.
Your school is recognized by the state. Your school is recognized by the state.
Recognized by the state. In fact, we're under the umbrella of the public school.
Yes.
But they let us run it like it's our own school because it's on our campus.
Wow.
And they also send us a teacher or two to help us run the school. And then we use our people who have college degrees to help us in the school. Our grade point average right now is about 89. And we just had this spring, we had 10 graduate in ours. And we have 8 of them in our junior college, which is in our community. So we're moving in education. But the exciting thing is happening on our campus is for these young people who are coming out of jail and now coming out of homeless shelters and private referrals who've come to us who are 18 to 25 years old. Because I tell church leaders, I say, this is the greatest mission field in America.
Most of them are dropouts.
And most of them have dropped out of school.
Sure they
have. And they're not ready for the job market. They never worked a day in their life, and they don't know about work. And they don't have the values to know how to apply for a job and keep a job. And so we have developed a whole system of helping them. First of all, we help them finish their education. If they're under 21, they can get a high school diploma. If they're over 21, they can get a GED. Or get a year or two at our junior college, you don't even need a GED. So we help them finish their education. We help them get a driver's license. We take care of all their expenses. They don't have any money while they're on our campus. They don't need any money. We take care of every expense that they have.
Jerry, you said you were hooked up to a junior college. Did you,
yes,
say that? Did I catch that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have it's called Suffolk County Community College.
Okay.
It's a community college, a two-year college,
okay,
in our community. And so at any rate, that's kind of how we have helped them. And we have them divided in their work program. Every morning we have a depot at 8 o'clock and then we go to work. And these kids are 3 or 4 in a work group. And the person who leads that group is an adult who has some experience in that particular work environment. For instance, we have a man who is a good mechanic. And so they work on cars. we get to change oil, put on brakes, all kinds of things. Anybody on our staff, we use those cars as learning experiences. Our campus is a learning experience for all of our kids. I have graduates from our program who are plumbers, some of them in the union, electricians, carpenters, landscapers, all kinds of jobs, and some of them work for companies. I got 40 companies on Long Island here that'll hire my guys. So after a young person comes to us from the homeless shelter or from the jail, they've been with us for 3 months or more. We want them to learn the work ethic before they go outside our place to get a job. I've got companies who are hiring my guys, and they have to save 100% of what they earn. And when they've got enough money, and they've been with us long enough, we help them to buy a used car, pay cash. We teach them the Dave Ramsey course, so we teach them the deferred gratification. That's radical, to think like that. We teach them, don't get in debt. If you can't afford it, just wait a while, keep working. And you'll save some money and you'll be able to do it. So they have to pay cash for a car, have to pay the insurance on it for a year. They have to have 3 months rent up front in New York. And when they've done all that, they're pretty much on their own and have a full-time job to go out and get an apartment and be able to be on their own and get back and forth to work and so forth. So that has been tremendously successful. Kids who have been with us for a year or more in that program, we all have almost 100% success rate in that they're able to support themselves. They're not on welfare. They're not in jail. They're not out in a homeless shelter. They're not out on the streets shooting drugs, you know. I mean, it is radical, but it changes young life, and many of those are very open to the gospel because they've been down the wrong road a few times. They're looking for something that's better than a dead-end street. So anyway, that's kind of how that program worked. Well, it has been successful on Long Island and New York with us. And I have a lot of friends in Tennessee and churches and relatives, people that we've known for all these years. And so friends in Tennessee helped us. And they said, we want you to come to Tennessee and help our young people who are aging out of foster care. They have 1,000 young people a year in the state of Tennessee aging out of foster care. They age out at 18. In New York, our kids don't age out of foster care until they're 21. But in Tennessee and in most states, they age out at 18. So they helped us and actually raised the money to purchase 140 acres on Center Hill Lake near Cookeville. That's about halfway between Nashville and Knoxville. It's a beautiful resort. It's 18 buildings, which includes a conference center that has 26 rooms and then meeting rooms and kitchen facilities. We also have a dining hall or a catering hall that'll feed 200 people. We can sleep about 200 people a night. And what we've decided to do is to use that property as a training ground for young people in all kinds of jobs, culinary arts, drywall, painting, plumbing, electric, working on motors and boats, all kinds of jobs, to teach them some skills so that they will be able to go get a job. And the nice thing about Tennessee is we have a lot of Christians in Tennessee, many of them own businesses, and we have a lot of churches where we can help plug them into a church that might be a support system. Our kids need a support system. They don't have a family.
Absolutely.
God's gift to young people is the church. So these young people need a support system, so that's kind of what we're trying to do in the state of Tennessee. So we're opening a year-round program. That facility is open right now. We've had it a year and a half, and our occupancy rate is about 40% right now above what it was last year at this time. We've done a lot of work on the property. We brought our kids down, more mature kids down, many, many times over the past year and a half to work on that property in Tennessee and bring it up to where it ought to be. So that is working real well. And we're still working with the state of Tennessee to get all of the approvals so that they can refer. We want to have a relationship with judges and with the state of Tennessee so they can refer young people to us. And we hope that they'll help us pay some of this, but there's not much money anywhere for young people 18 and over and government. And we like to have a relationship with government and the judges, and we like to have a strong fundraising program, and we like to have some service that that our agency would have. A cord of three strands is not easily broken, so we want three ways of supporting our agency. And one of those would be fundraising, one of them would be have some kind of a relationship with the state, and one of them would be to provide a service or a product. Well, our service is hospitality. And our kids will be working and serving the people who come there on vacation, and the people on vacation, they're renting a room, that's going to help pay for the program. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful situation. And we'd like you to pray about that, because it's really a big job for a small agency like ours to open up a program in another state. And but we're behind it. We think it's going to be a great success. And we also have 100 acres on a lake up in Massachusetts in the Berkshire Mountains. And we're going to open a year-round program up there as well.
So
that program's going
to be. So who is the one in Tennessee?
Yes.
Who is the point person there on campus or whatever?
Yes.
Is there a church or two in that region?
Yes.
Or area or whatever that's kind of behind you a little bit?
Yes, yes. We have a lot of churches in that area that are behind us.
Okay.
And it's good that I'm talking about this at Harding, because we have a wonderful Harding couple that's our point people there. And they have worked with us and been house parents for us for the girls program in New York for 2 or 3 years. And then they are kind of heading up our program down in Tennessee. And that's Kyle and Elizabeth Thompson. I don't know if you know them or not, but Elizabeth is the daughter of Dr. Jackson, who teaches here. And she was born in Russia, raised in China. And Dr. Jackson teaches Bible here. And Mrs. Jackson works in some capacity, but I don't know what she does. But at any rate, Kyle and Elizabeth are talking. Kyle worked in the Florence, Italy program that Harding has, I think for 6 years, and helped to kind of do a lot of stuff with the connection with that program. And they hope eventually to go back to either Italy or some foreign field. But they have really been working with us in a wonderful way for about 3 years.
What's the name of your Tennessee operation?
It's called the Retreat at Center Hill Lake. And,
can you get it by going to your Timothy Hill website?
Right, and I've got cards up here if you want to. It's got our website and phone number for that if you want to go over there on vacation or family reunion or whatever you want to do. We love to have groups. We like to work with groups.
Abundant Living just had their retreat there last weekend.
Yes, they had a mini Abundant Living. It was Friday and Saturday. They had it at our place.
So since I got to introduce you, I get to ask you as many questions as I want.
You ask all you want.
So my wife and I could go to the campus in Tennessee.
Yes.
And rent a cottage or something. And
you
use
could
rent
a cottage
home base
that sleeps well, or a smaller cottage, or you could rent a room, like a Holiday Inn style room.
Well, we'll rent whatever benefits y'all the most, but we're on our way. So.
All right. Isn't that great? And when you're renting that room, you're helping support kids. Right now in New York, but eventually they're going to be in New York.
Any of your people from New York ever transition down to Tennessee for work?
Yes.
In that area?
That's right.
So and, you can use that as a placement?
Yes, we can.
The place in Massachusetts, or any of these places close to any water?
All of them.
Oh, yeah, all of them are.
Okay.
Of course, on Long Island, we're surrounded by the ocean. In Massachusetts, we have a 125-acre lake on a 100-acre property.
Yeah, I got you.
It's up in the mountains. In Tennessee, we've got Center Hill Lake, which is 60 miles long.
Okay.
It's got 9 marinas on it. We're the only people on that lake that have overnight accommodations. So, yes.
Okay. I'm gonna go.
All right.
You just stumbled in here accidentally. So, right out loud, you're real. It's a God deal. You've got to go now.
I want to show you this little video,
okay,
which will show you Long Island, our property. It'll show you the Massachusetts property, and it'll show you the Tennessee property.
But it doesn't distinguish.
It doesn't make a good distinction, but you can figure it out.
Okay.
because I've given you enough introduction.
Is this online by any chance?
Sir?
Is this, yes. This online?
Yes, it's online. You go on our line and see it.
Literature.
And also, we have about 30 YouTube testimonials of our young people who said, this is where I came from, this is how I got to the ranch, this is what's happened in my life since I got here.
Let me see if I can turn this thing on over here.
So where's James? He's in Brooklyn.
You know, the issues that I think that are really plaguing our country right now has really been the breakdown of the family.
Young people that have really got nobody or had nobody.
My relationship with my mom started getting, you know, worse and worse.
She was there for me when she wanted to be. And when I needed her the most, she wasn't there.
My father and I, we don't talk anymore. We were like split logs one day, and my father threw a log at, like not a log, but 2x4 at me, and he gave me a concussion.
Over the last 50, 60 years, you've just seen families being torn apart and divorced, and in the process, young people are just being discarded. You just see this ongoing ripple effect of fatherlessness.
Timothy was our firstborn son. He had 3 paper routes. He worked on the farm after paper routes. He was not a student at school. He was captain of his cross-country team.
Timothy had extraordinary vision and had a great love and passion for people. He had a great love and passion for outdoors, but he also had a great heart and a burden for young people that he saw coming out of broken families.
He dreamed of someday having a ranch for homeless children and was saving his money for that purpose, was trying to buy land at the age of 13.
And it was really his vision that was communicated to my parents at one point in 1972, that he wanted to have a place where young people could feel loved, feel safe, and enjoy the outdoors, particularly his great affection for horses and living on a ranch on a farm and getting to just do a lot of the cool things that so many kids don't have the opportunity to do.
And one morning he missed the bus and ran back into the house to tell us he would ride his bicycle to school. And I said, I'll take you. He said, no, you have the little ones to take care of. Besides, I have some things I need to take care of. So within 3 minutes, he had a collision with a truck and his life ended.
I can't put into words how this young man, whose hand I never got to shake, has changed my life.
One of the things that we really love about Timothy Hill is that I feel like the way that we love young people is very similar to how Jesus showed an example of how to love everyone.
The vision of Timothy Hill, in simple words, is transformation through love. And that's something that we're passionate about helping people and just showing love to people, whether it's through hospitality or through teaching young people life skills and helping them work through difficulties.
From my perspective, the heartbeat of Timothy Hill is to help those less fortunate and to help those not just in New York, but across our great nation.
We continue to see transformation taking place in the lives of young people. And it really is the love of God being manifested in our lives and being poured out onto these young people that really is the change engine.
Specifically young men that don't have a strong God, that they've been let down by life, by parents, by their community, and how do we help these guys change their trajectory?
There are so many kids that just don't have a family. They haven't had a mom to love them or a dad to love them or a supportive environment. And Timothy Hill really seeks to invite young people to join families.
Timothy Hill is like love. It's like bonding. It's like everything you can imagine here.
Death is good. They treat everybody how you would want to be.
The ranch makes you work and make you become a better person and a better man or a woman than what you was.
Coming to the ranch shows you there's people that care, and like it's like a family, and after the ranch, there's a whole world out there to do the next right thing.
As Timothy's dream was not limited to Riverhead, neither is the need for our services.
In the coming years, we hope to be establishing a residential program where this would be a training ground for young people coming out of difficult situations.
I don't believe that when Timothy had his dream, I mean, he would have dreamed to be as smart as it is today.
The retreat at Norwich Lake is a place where anyone can come and get away, get back to a place where you feel like God can speak to you.
Even though Timothy Hill has multiple locations, we are one organization, and we have share the same vision, which is to see hearts and lives transformed through love, and that is ultimately our goal. And we believe that if we continue to love well, there will still be lives that will be transformed.
This ranch started with a dream that Timothy had, but it's so much bigger than we ever dreamed it could be when it started. And we're so thankful. When God is involved in a dream, we need to just get out of the way because something big is going to happen.
That young man who said, I can't believe the young man whose hand I never got to shake, he came to us as a drug addict. And he did real well. And then he worked for us for a few years. He now has his own business, but he worked for us. In fact, we've had about 8 former residents that are full-time employees. He was one of them.
Do they still plant flowers in the town?
No, they're not doing that right now. We don't have our greenhouse. Sandy came through and tore up our greenhouse. We don't have a greenhouse anymore.
Who's Sandy?
The storm.
Hurricane Sandy.
A couple years ago. My wife's greenhouse. She spent too much time in it, so I was going to hire Sandy to come help her do that.
And I really hate that we lost our greenhouse because I loved it. But it was very hard work.
Hard work. Where was it located? What campus?
It was on Riverhead.
On our campus on Riverhead.
But it was really
there are a lot of greenhouses on Long Island out on the east.
And that really, competition has really grown tremendously since then, too. So were you
growing some stuff that you were selling in the greenhouse?
Yes.
We
were a wholesale greenhouse for garden centers and landscapers.
And we had.
So your coordinational person, staffing person, or whatever, still in the loop on that? If you had it rebuilt or whatever.
Well, he left us and went to China to teach English in China.
Yeah.
And so we lost our grower who had 25 years of experience.
He's looking at a lot of good Chinese laborers, so that'll work out good. So.
Well, I have a scripture or two that I want to share with you, and then we'll close. Unless you have some more questions, we'll be glad to stay around a little while. But we're going to go to Jackson, Tennessee, to spend the night tonight with Fern's great niece.
Thank you.
In the first chapter of Genesis, we have God's creation. And in 7 days, he creates heaven and earth, and then even has one day to rest while he's doing all that. I'm reading from this translation, which is the easy to read version. On the sixth day, God said, let's make humans who will be like us. Mm-hmm. Make man in our image. And they will rule over all the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. They will rule over all the large animals, all the little things that crawl on the earth. So God created humans in his own image. He created them to be like himself. He created them male and female. And verse 28 says, God blessed them. We have that idea of blessing throughout the Bible. I think it's used over 400 times in the Bible. In Genesis 12, we have God telling Abraham that he's going to bless him. And through him, he's going to build a nation. Of course, we know now that this was the nation through which Christ was going to be born. But
But as he spoke to Abraham, he said, I will bless you and make your name famous. People will use your name to bless other people. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. I will use you to bless all the people on earth. God, from the very beginning, has wanted to bless all of us. And he calls us to be a blessing to the people around us. So we are blessed so that we can bless others. And then in number six, you have the wonderful blessing that we sing so often, you know. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. And that idea of blessing. And I heard Harold Shank speak at a men's retreat some time back. And he's an Old Testament scholar. Some of you may know Harold. He says that the idea of blessing in the Hebrew is showing favor to someone because they have value and worth. And in the New Testament, Jesus says, one soul is worth more than the whole world. And what we've found that really works with young people who've come out of very troubled black backgrounds is to just overwhelm them with love. Mm-hmm. And so we have this little saying, transformation through love.
Most of the young people who come to us have never sat down to a meal and eaten a meal with the family before they come to us.
What one boy told us, he said, well, I remember sometimes at either Thanksgiving or Christmas we'd have a family. And then we would ask these kids, well, how did you eat? And they said, well, mother was working two jobs, and she was never home. And I'd get home from school, I'd go raid the refrigerator, and I'd go out and be on the streets till bedtime, and I'd go to bed. Next morning, my mother would already be at work, and I'd get up and grab something to eat and then go to school. So,
Jerry, I want to ask Dick to lead us in a closing prayer for y'all.
Good.
And you guys.
Well, we thank you for coming and showing up.
Your stuff,
and stuff. This is such an exciting work, and what is happening to change lives is so duplicatable that we think if Chick-fil-A can have something that's top quality in all these different states, we have no idea how big God's dream is for what may happen in the next. So thank you, Dick. Appreciate you.
Lord God, thank you for this time that we can be exposed to the story of Timothy and the impact that he, even his young life, can have on so many people around because of his dream. We pray for Jerry and his family and his extended family and all those who are working in your service and working at all these locations to change lives and point lives in the direction in which they need to go to serve you and to appreciate the plan that you have for all of us. We ask that you give them safety on their return trip to their home, give them long and healthy lives as they work in your service. We pray that their work will inspire others to do likewise. These things we ask in Christ's name.
Amen. So you didn't mention that Thaddeus was your son.
Yes. The one who kind of was a spokesperson. That's our son. He's a graduate of Hardy.
Okay.
And played football here. Was All-American.
My son.
He's in your Athletic Hall of Fame here.
What year did he graduate?
95, I believe.
95. Dick lives in BB, Arkansas. He does something. He's got a real nice place out there, and he's always got people out working and helping, and he uses his place. And then my wife and I have we exist to provide a quality outdoor Christian experience for young people.
Good.
And their parent or guardians. And what that ends up being is guided deer and turkey hunts and stuff.
Wonderful.
Anyway, so we all kind of have a little I have a real little deep appreciation for what you're. Dick and I get it.
Good.
So we get it.
You get it.
We get it. So.
I think it's wonderful.
Sounds great. Sounds great. I'd love to have some of your.
But if you'd like to take any of these, if you know somebody you want to give one to, feel free.
Let me have a couple of them.
Jerry, who's your development person? Who's your?
You're looking at us.
No, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Yeah. So where will you be?
Vern and I.
Where will you be next? Is your travel schedule posted on your website?
No, it probably already is. We're going to Branson next for the Abundant Living, and then next week I'm going to be in Alabama for a lectureship that's put on by the Black Churches.
Right.
And I'll have a booth there, and we're.
Said in Alabama.
Chairman of our board is Greg Harding.
You said in
he's
Alabama.
On the Harding board. That's Howard Wright. He's chairman of our board.
You said you'll be in Alabama?
Yes, sir.
Where in
Huntsville?
Huntsville. How far is that from Montgomery?
Thank you.
Probably
away. Away. Just, yeah.
80 or 90 miles, probably.
Yeah, I got you.
Away.
Okay.
Fern, you got my cars.
I've got it out.
Tommy, see you later.
Dick, I'll see you soon, man.
You're a stranger.
I'll see you soon. We could.
Hey, listen, I want to see your.
If I could get my wife to prescribe a little bit of oxycodone for us where we wouldn't be hurting too bad, we could take that.
I don't need it.
We could take that restored Corvette of mine and do a road trip and go up and see
you. Hey, Tommy, I want to see your place someday. Sometime when we're down here, I want to see it.
Well, I'd love to.
Romance, Arkansas.
I'd love to show it to you. Don't ask me where Romance is, because the deal is it's wherever you find it.
So anyway. Isn't that Arkansas, too. I mean,
we're going to haul some more of that stuff around the other day.
Yeah, no, so, Dick, what do you do in Beebe, Arkansas?
There's a lady in Strawberry, Arkansas, or Lake Scrooge, that when we first opened the ranch.
He's too modest for his to visit.
Anyway, I say this, I'm a shepherd in Arkansas.